CGMAC data reveal the steady growth in specialized master's programs in business. One of the degrees increasing in popularity, and maybe even increasing at the fastest rate, and also increasing in job clout, is the Master's in Finance, or MIF, or sometimes called the MSF. Indeed, according to the most recent GMAC recruiter survey, recruiters in all the industries for which GMAC had data, including consulting, finance and accounting, manufacturing, technology, and products and services, intended to hire more MIF grads in 2014 than were actually hired in 2013. Not surprisingly, the most prominent increase was in finance and accounting, where 62% of recruiters surveyed intended to hire MIFs as opposed to 55% who actually did so last year. We're going to learn more about this degree from a leading expert in the field in just a minute. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of Admission Straight Talk. Before we turn to how to transform yourself into a certified Wall Street quant jock, I want to mention that Accepted has its summer special running now. You can save 10% on any non-rush MBA, law school, or grad school admission service that we offer. Just purchase by July 15 using coupon code SUMMER. That's right. Coupon code is simply the word SUMMER. And we'll include a link in the show notes to our services section. And the link will be at info.accepted.com/63. And I'll repeat that URL at the end of the podcast so you don't have to be trying to jot it down madly now or worrying about it. And you don't have to rush off either. I also want to remind you of a new feature on Admission Straight Talk. We invite your questions. If you have an admissions-related question, just go to the show notes at info.accepted.com/63. And again, you can do that after the podcast. And you will see a widget that will allow you to leave an audio message in which you can ask your question. You can speak using your computer mic or your phone. You can also send me questions via emails by sending it to questions@accepted.com. If your question is chosen, I'll ask and answer it on the show. Now to today's show and guest, Anthony DeAngelis of MSF Headquarters. Anthony earned his MIF from Villanova University and has worked as an analyst for LBC Credit Partners. And as a matter of fact, today he just started now in a capital markets role for a regional bank. He's very excited about his new job. And that is just his day job. By night, he is the owner and founder of Masters in Finance Headquarters, a go-to destination for anyone interested in this fast-growing degree. MSF HQ has basic stats from different programs, different MIF programs, as well as reviews of many of these programs. Additionally, Anthony's site provides links to articles and resources of interest to MIF applicants. Anthony has been featured or quoted or has had his articles appear on sites like Business Because, Street of Walls, QuantNet, Mergers and Acquisitions, and Accepted, as well as other publications and websites. Given the interest in Wall Street among college students and recent college grads and applicants and students all over the place and in all kinds of fields, I'm thrilled to welcome him to the show today. Anthony, thank you once again for joining me on Admission Straight Talk.
Well, thank you for having me, Linda.
Now, can you tell us a little bit more about MSF HQ, its origins, as well as what it provides today?
After I graduated from Villanova, I went home to visit my family before, you know, starting my job. And, you know, during the degree program, I kind of realized that students in my class, they couldn't do an elevator speech, right? Like, people were trying to figure out what this degree was, how to convey it to recruiters. And, you know, also through interactions and recruiting, a lot of recruiters or HR individuals, they just didn't understand it. They always confused with an MBA, or they didn't have a clear, concise idea of what the MSF and what its value proposition was. So I went home and I was just kind of thinking about this, you know, while I was relaxing, and I kind of put together a simple website kind of with the whole idea of that, you know, this is one place where you can kind of go to research the degree, right? It would have links to programs and eventually reviews, and I just put something rudimentary together, you know, just because I was essentially bored. And it got a lot of attention. I looked at the stats one day. I woke up and I was like, "Wow, there's an interest here."
Sure.
So, you know, over the time, over the next week or so, I started getting emails from students, and I said, "Hey, you know, maybe there's something here." So I started to reach out to recruiters or admissions officers at different schools to kind of build out more information, and you know, it kind of took off from there. And I mean, the need was obvious, right? I mean, if you want to learn about an MBA, you can go to sites like yourself, or there's other sites or forums, and it's easy to find out information and do your research. You know, 4 years ago when I, well, 5 years ago now, when I was looking at the Villanova MSF program or other MSF programs, you just Google and you go to some links and you kind of piece it together. There was nowhere to go. So I felt like I knew for myself I would have loved something like this. And, you know, 4 years now, it seems like, you know, other students appreciate it. So, you know, that's kind of like how it grew about. And, you know, it's been a pleasure to kind of help students since.
That's great. That's great. Basically, you recognized the market need and you filled it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was doing it, I didn't think about that. But, you know, in hindsight, I mean, absolutely.
Okay. So one of the things I think that many people considering an MSF would like to know is, what do you actually do? What is a day like? What is a typical day like for an analyst who recently earned his MIF or MSF, whichever? I think the acronyms are synonymous, really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, it pretty much depends on what you go into, right? I mean, the master's in finance is essentially, with a few exceptions, a one-year graduate degree in finance. You know, usually 30 credits, so you're taking 10 or 11 classes, all graduate level. A lot of it is, most schools incorporate CFA material, right? So it's definitely a high-level finance experience. And from that, you can go into anything you want. So some people want to go the traditional Wall Street route, so they'll try and get into an investment bank and be an analyst, and they'll go through an analyst program and, you know, do M&A and prepare pitch book materials, offering materials, you know, marketing slides, go on road shows, you know, et cetera, you know, what typical bankers would do. Other people, they go into a commercial banking route, right, where it's going to be credit analysis, where they're going to be looking at, you know, fixed charge coverages and leverage coverages and, you know, whether the bank wants to lend to a client. Other people might go into a Fortune 500 role where they're going to do, like, financial planning and analysis, where they're really going to be looking at, you know, IRs or break-evens for projects within a company. You know, and then other people can go into, you know, financial consulting, which really might be like a McLadgery or I forget the name of another big one. But it really depends on what you're interested in. So, I mean, I can tell you about, like, you know, what I've done since, you know, a master's in finance. And, you know, a lot of it's going to be Excel work. You know, my role with, you know, LBC, you know, is a middle market credit fund. So, you know, it's credit analysis, right? I mean, I was on the portfolio side, so, you know, my experience would be helping other portfolio managers, you know, with their credit. So it could be, you know, the day-to-day job could be mundane from getting financials and spreading them into, you know, something that we could use, you know, uploading documents to a Syntrax site, you know, were they aging or not, you know, and then it could be more important, right, you know, for putting together, you know, credit memos or presentations or an add on an acquisition and upside. You know, so my day would range from something very simple or boring to something maybe more complex and, you know, analytical. But, you know, the great thing about this, the MSF degree is you can do anything you want to do with it. It's a platform for whatever you particularly want. I mean, obviously, most likely within a financial, you know, career-wise.
Right. So within that industry, it's actually a fairly flexible degree.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I tell a lot of students, I mean, a good chunk of them, maybe the majority, I'd almost say, they want to do investment banking or work on Wall Street.
I think, right.
Draw up the degree. But you, I find, and, you know, I've interacted with Villanova, you know, every year, and I interact with other universities, and you'll see a shift, right? Everybody wants to do banking, and then the paths will separate from the people that want to do banking, they want to do it for the right reasons, and the people say, hey, I just want to make a lot of money, and then they realize the hours and the sacrifices it takes, and they go into something else. But yeah, it is pretty diverse, and that's something that I found after I did the degree. I didn't necessarily know going into it.
And what are the right reasons for pursuing a degree in investment banking?
Let me put it like this. As far as I'm concerned, the right reason to pursue any education is because you actually enjoy and love the subject.
Okay.
I wanted to get a graduate degree in finance because I like finance. I was a pure finance undergrad. I was interested in it, and that's what I wanted to do, whether I got a job or not from it. If you want to do investment banking, I would say you go into that field because, you know, you realize it's going to be a lot of hard work. You realize it's not always going to be glamorous work, mm-hmm. but you're going to learn a lot in a short period of time, and it's going to open up career paths and opportunities for you that otherwise would not be open. I think that's the best way to go into it. Be very realistic and don't just do it for the money, because the short-term compensation gains are far going to be outweighed by long-term. And I'll tell you right now, when your friends are at the beach or they're having fun and you're in the office reformatting something, you're not going to be thinking about that paycheck. So, go into it with a long-term goal, I think you'll be happy.
Right. I once had a call from a mother who her child had interned at a top investment bank but didn't like the work. And the child also had other job opportunities and was trying to weigh it up. And the mother was actually encouraging her to return to the investment banking role because after a couple of years of investment banking salaries and bonuses, she would have enough money saved up where she could go do her MBA and she wouldn't be in debt. And while I certainly admire the desire not to have a child in debt, I was actually aghast at the mother's position because I felt like if your child already knows she doesn't like this work, and this was somebody like just graduating college, and she was at the beginning of her career. Let her go explore something that she might like.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I was horrified at the call.
Yeah, I agree because if you change your mind, you can do an MBA and go into banking. There's plenty of jobs that pay what investment banking will pay for base, and I know people that are at banks that, they got really low bonuses. Some banks didn't get any bonus, right? It's not a guaranteed compensation.
No.
So I agree with you. Do what you want to do and do what you love, do what interests you, and the money will follow, right?
I think you have to have some. When you're talking about whether you're going to get an MBA or an MSF, I do think the money will follow, and I would certainly agree that you should do what you love. I think that some of the liberal arts grads have to kind of have their eye on the marketplace as they're choosing to do what they love, because the marketplace may not reward them for doing what they love. So I think you kind of have to have your eye on both. But I would never tell a child or any young person for that matter to go do something they hate just so they can make money, because they'll be miserable.
Miserable.
Now, the Financial Times divides MIF programs into pre-experienced masters and those that require at least 2 years of full-time work experience. Do both categories require similar undergraduate preparation? And what kinds of educational backgrounds are MIF programs looking for?
A couple things, right? And the ideal background for a pure master's in finance is going to be a finance or economics background, right?
Okay.
Now, people with engineering backgrounds, people with math backgrounds, they all do very well. Most MSF programs, accounting backgrounds, mm-hmm. most MSF programs will allow people with liberal arts backgrounds with maybe, we'll have like a summer training or a boot camp to get you up to speed.
The math.
If you don't have the math or the finance or the accounting background, it's going to be a harder time than someone else. That doesn't mean you can't do it or schools will exclude you. It's just you're going to have to work harder. But obviously, if you have the calc and the quantitative background and, a foundation of finance, that would be preferable. Now, the two-year program versus one-year program, you really find that in Europe. In the U.S., there's only, maybe one, I think, maybe two programs that really favor people that have, maybe there's one or two, there's maybe two or three I can think off my head, that favor work experience. And those programs within the U.S. tend to be MBA substitutes almost, right? Like people that are working in the financial industry.
Which programs would those be, Anthony? Programs would those be? Like Princeton?
I think Princeton likes work experience. I don't think they specifically require work experience.
Okay.
I believe George Washington University or American. I forget which one off the top of my head. They require work experience. I think it's George Washington. I think Seattle University requires work experience. Indiana University has an online MSF that's really weighted towards work experience. LBS International, for programs, their MIF, that's work experience. NCI, I believe, requires work experience. But overseas, the MSF, the specialized master's, it's more common than the MBA is, right? So, it's a flip kind of role, right? So people get MSFs overseas more so than MBAs. I mean, it's changing a little bit now, but I think the MSc in finance is more of the standard degree there. So you see the work experience requirement much more common there. But in the U.S., probably 95% of programs are 0 to 2 years work experience. So you can come in there fresh out of undergrad.
Okay, great. So you kind of hinted at this a minute or two ago, but I'm going to ask a question explicitly. Are liberal arts grads out to lunch that decide to go the financial services route after getting their undergrad degrees in Shakespeare or Greek mythology or something along those lines?
There's some programs that are, first off, no, absolutely not.
Okay.
What really determines your financial success, I mean, to get into those industries, first off, I mean, there's plenty of people from the Ivy League schools, the top schools that don't get economic degrees that go into investment banking.
Mm-hmm.
They have training programs, and what you do in investment banking, you don't need to have, always a finance background. There are programs that honestly exclude people with a finance or business background, like UVA is a master's in commerce. It's one of the best programs in this country. The woman that runs it is phenomenal. The placements every year are amazing. And you have to have a non-business or finance undergrad to get into the program.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, too. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think Michigan has a master's in management that excludes business people. So some of these programs, they don't want people with a business degree because it's repetitive, it's redundant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other MSF programs, I mean, honestly, when people hit me up and they're like, hey, I don't have this finance background, kind of still in the program, I always tell them, get up to speed with the Wall Street Journal, Financial Times, Economist.
Sure.
Know what's going on in the market.
Absolutely.
Pick up like a CFA level, pick up the CFA level 1 books and just understand basic financial concepts. And, go to community college or online and make sure you have the algebra and the calculus background, and just work a little bit harder. A liberal arts graduate, maybe they might struggle in some classes, but in every MSF program, there's paper writing, there's research, there's things that you'll experience even in that liberal arts program that maybe you won't be so strong in a finance undergrad. So there'll be strengths you can offset it with. I've seen tons of liberal arts grads do very well in programs. Just, come in there knowing you might have to get up to speed a little bit quicker. I mean,
maybe get up to speed before you start the program.
Yeah. So a lot of schools will offer a summer boot camp, or they have some type of a path for people without required classes, like if you take them ahead of time. But, most programs are open to those students.
Now, what kind of, for those programs that do want to have work experience, they want their students to have work experience, what kind of work experience are they looking for? Is it any kind of business experience? Is it specifically investment banking or financial services work experience? Or is it simply working in a finance department, in a corporate finance department?
So the schools that require it, I think it's going to be much like, like MBA. They're looking for solid work experience, so you can add to a classroom discussion. Mm-hmm. you know, financial, you know, within a Fortune 500 company, commercial bank, you know, banking if you're into that. I mean, something with a finance tilt, you know,
right.
You know, work experience. All so, the programs,
yeah.
I always tell people, every program, if you have some work experience or internship, it benefits you, right? Because you have a resume and it helps with recruiting. So I always tell people if there's a gap between undergrad and the master's or during the master's, find an internship, unpaid or paid, whatever you can get. If it's within wealth management or if it's a small boutique investment bank or whatever it might be, have some type of a work experience so you can, you know, learn the intangible skills, right? Like, it's silly to say, but showing up on time, being able to format a polite and office correct email, interact with superiors. I mean, you think this is common sense, but it isn't. Just being able to do those little things will help when it comes time to, you know, interview. And plus, if you're interning in this financial community and with some type of a facet, you're building your network, maybe these people can give you references. I mean, it's just very important. And I think it makes your resume a little bit more adult, a little bit more mature.
Sure. Sure, absolutely. Now, many considering the MIF or MSF automatically think of Wall Street, and maybe those thinking of Wall Street will associate it with the MSF. But I recently read in the Financial Times, which cites a PricewaterhouseCoopers study, that assets under management are expected to surge globally by approximately 50% in the next 6 years. Do you see MIFs or MBAs being the primary beneficiaries of growth in fund management work? Do you have an opinion on that?
I mean, I think the financial sector is rebounding. It's been rebounding.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just from the interviews I've been getting, the people I speak with, the friends of mine applying to things, it's definitely opened up.
Mm-hmm.
The growth of it, I mean, I think it's going to keep growing. I do think people should look at more than just quote-unquote Wall Street, right? I mean, Wall Street, I think Wall Street transcends Wall Street, New York City. I don't work in New York City, but I work in the financial sector. There's plenty of places around the city or around the country, Chicago, Minneapolis, you know, L.A.
San Francisco.
I've worked in finance in Denver. So, I mean, understand that Wall Street within New York City maybe expands, maybe constricts a little bit. Wall Street globally or across the United States footprint is going to expand. You know, and look at those opportunities. I mean, the financial industry is still growing. I mean, it's gonna ebb and flow per the market, per the economy, but it's not going anywhere.
Right.
And as other countries continue to grow, expand. You know, if you look, you know, China, India, as, you know, as these countries continue to, you know, build up that middle class and, you know, become more and more global players than they already are, there's going to be financial opportunities everywhere. And I don't think that benefits international students that come to the U.S. for school because they have more and more opportunities either here or if they go back to their home country.
Right. For sure. Makes sense. So there's going to be plenty of work to go around for MIFs and MBAs, is basically what you're
Absolutely.
Saying.
Absolutely.
Now, I'm periodically asked, should I get an MBA in finance or a master's in finance or a master's in financial engineering? Can you give some guidelines for that decision?
Yeah. I always say this, right? If you have more than 3 years' work experience, the MSF most likely isn't for you.
Okay.
The reason why is recruiters, the MSF is maturing, it's getting there, but it's not there yet, okay? So you have 3 to 4 years of experience. Recruiters look at your resume and they're like, okay, if you had an MBA, you'd be an associate at this bank. If you have an MSF, they're like, well, you don't have an MBA, but you have MBA work experience, but you have more work experience than an analyst, so they just don't know what to do with you. You know, as the MSF grows, maybe you will see people with work experience doing the 1 year versus 2 year. And you might see that. Right now, if you have 3 or 4 years experience and you do an MSF, you know, be prepared to have a little bit. It's a hurdle for investment banking. Now, if you want to do Fortune 500, a lot of times they'll look at the MSF as an MBA and you come in as a senior analyst, commercial banking, consulting. It's a little bit easier. Like, investment banking has, like, slots in order, right? I mean, it's not as nebulous as other stuff. If you have 3 or 4 years experience, you're going to be better off in an MBA. You're going to be with experienced people, your classmates. You're going to have a better interaction. I mean, the MSF is primarily 0 to 2 years work experience. So if you have 4 years experience, you're going to be in a classroom with a lot of people fresh out of undergrad or maybe with, like, barely a year experience. So you just understand that. The financial engineering degree, that's a little bit more different. If you have an engineering background, a math background, a computer science background, and you really are into that quantitative studying, the financial engineering degree might be perfect for you. An MBA is a master's in business, right? I mean, it's going to be soft skills. It's going to be HR, accounting, supply chain, those type of classes. If you're really interested in quantitative finance, you might not get that at most MBAs. So it's a little bit of an easier kind of decision. You can have 3 or 4 years. Like, the master's in financial engineering programs have been around, I think, longer. They're more mature. The recruiters understand it. So if you have 3 or 4 years experience and get a master's in financial engineering, you can come in as a senior role. They're not going to not know what to do with you. So I think that kind of choice is easier.
Okay. So do you have any plans to go back and get an MBA, or do you think you're finished?
I'll never finish. I love school.
Okay.
I've looked at MBA programs. I kind of would only want to do a one-year program.
Right.
I've looked at overseas because I'd really like to just travel and get a real good international experience. And I love economics. I really wish I probably would have studied econ instead of finance undergrad. So I've looked at a few, like, masters in applied economics, purely for enrichment purposes. I mean, I have a kind of a unique outlook on life, but I really like school. I love my professors. It's great to be around people that are passionate and, you know, industry leaders in a subject. So I'll probably end up going back to school, but, you know, who knows, right, with this economy, and just, you got to be flexible. But, I mean, if I had my choice, I'd do it.
All right, sounds good. And, of course, what happens with me is when I hear somebody thinking about these things, I'm going through my head, well, maybe we should go to this school, maybe we should go to that school, but whatever, we'll do that offline. We'll play that game offline. Now, on Poets and Quants recently, I saw a survey by the MBA Career Services and Employer Alliance, and it found that roughly 42% of the responding business schools reported increased full-time recruiting from financial services. And, of course, you were talking a few minutes ago about how the financial services industry is rebounding. Now, and there are lots of indications, not just the stats I cited or the stats you cited before, that, indeed, financial services are recovering from the Great Recession. And indeed, the last 5 years have seen many new MIF programs open up. And I started the podcast by quoting stats for about the increasing recruiter demand for MSF holders. Do you think the growth will continue, and why?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing to look back 4 or 5 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Look at how, like, there's a ton of new MSF programs.
Yeah.
I mean, my personal opinion and some of the GMAC stats I've seen, you know, the top 20 schools, MBA, you know, MBA programs,
yeah,
the top 10 still see the same amount of demand, right? I mean, there's always going to be people going to Harvard and Wharton.
Right.
They expand to the top 20, and there's still a good demand. Maybe it'll flatline. It'll be steady state.
Right.
If you go outside the 20,
right,
and I think the MBA programs are seeing kind of a decline in applications, mm-hmm, right? Like, people, the economy's rough. People don't want to leave their job.
Right.
Employee reimbursement's down.
You also have online options.
Oh, yeah, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just people saying, hey, do I want to leave work for 2 years and is it going to be worth it? So a lot of these schools are saying, how do I increase revenue? How do I have a product that, you know, can offset this? And mm-hmm, they're coming out with these specialized masters in finance programs. I think it's great because a lot of schools, you know, if you had a senior that, you know, wanted to stay. Here we go into the MBA program, right? I mean, obviously, the top programs or many of the programs require work experience. But there's a lot of programs that you can go into without work experience. Good or bad, whatever the reason, you can do it. With the MSF option, you could take that student with no experience and really put them in something that is appropriate for them. Yeah, that's one thing. Two, international students want to go to school in the United States. I mean, there's amazing international schools. I think the U.S. still has this draw.
Yes.
So you can keep coming out of programs, and there's still going to be a lot of international students that are going to want to do that. I think, like, whenever students email me, I get hundreds of emails a month, and international students ask me where I should go. I'm very upfront with them, and I'm just like, listen, every school that has an MSF program will provide you an amazing graduate-level education. Now, not every school is going to be able to get you that job you want just because the location, reputation, back to your international, whatever. And I would let them know, like, listen, you know, the school's amazing. Go into it to get a great education. But do not get upset if you don't get a job. A lot of it's going to be on you. And the way the U.S. is now with immigration reform and all that going on, it's very hard for an international student to get sponsorship in the United States. And vice versa. If, you know, I want to try and work in London, it's extremely hard for me, or almost impossible for me to get a job there. It's just the way it is now. So, you know, these schools, there's going to be a continued growth. I mean, I think at least 5 or 6 programs a year that are popping up. And I see that continuing, if not increasing speed. In fact, as the degree gets more attention, it's going to increase. And there's always going to be demand for students. I mean, the issue you find right now is there's not enough domestic applicants to go around. Everybody wants domestic applicants because you can place that. They have English, they have business English fluency. They don't require sponsorship. They already have like a U.S. undergrad, so they have one alumni network. They maybe have an internship. They have a family in the United States that can support them and they can live with them. It's just, they can get placed. And, you know, the programs, MSF programs don't have a ranking yet. I mean, I know the Financial Times does one.
Yeah.
But that's really more Eurocentric.
Very much so.
And in the U.S., these programs are judged by students based on placements. Because like we've said before, a lot of these kids want to work on Wall Street. And then when they look at a school, they're like, I want to see your placements. I want to see who you place on Wall Street. And these schools fight for these quality domestic applicants because they can place them on Wall Street. So we need to grow that domestic pool. And that's just like a slow, steady growth. All the growth and demand is coming from international, whereas the domestics are like 1, 2, 3% growth. It's a real kind of slow GDP level.
Right. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, if you look at the class profiles of a lot of these MSF programs, there are many international names and faces. So, and of course, there is a barrier in terms of employment and sponsorship, getting work visas. So that's sense.
Even MIT, which I consider to probably be the best pure MSF program, you look at their placement report, and they separate it for domestic and international.
Really?
And I tell people, like, listen, if they have to do that for internationals, and they're extremely selective, like, it's difficult. So I think the best blend is a 70-30 blend. I think most schools can handle placing 30, maybe 40% internationals, right? Any more than that, there's just not enough firms to sponsor. It just gets difficult. So most schools kind of stick with that. Now, I mean, that's not to say that schools that don't are bad or they provide a subpar education. It's just different schools kind of choose to run their program differently. But if you want to have consistent, solid investment banking, top Fortune 500 company placements, you need to kind of have more domestics. It's just the way the government is with each one, you know, sponsorships, and it's just the way it is right now.
And most top MBA programs are 30-40% international.
Yeah,
I mean, that's probably playing a role there too. Now, you started MSFHQ 4-plus years ago. What's changed the most since you started it?
Well, more programs, more people know about it. You know, more articles have kind of popped out. I've just seen the level of emails I've gotten. I mean, my site's gone through 3 or 4 different iterations. It's getting more and more common. More people are speaking about it. I think that's primarily it. The degree is going to explode when Business Week, when Forbes, when U.S. News ranks it, right? That's when the degree is going to take off.
That's sad.
Yeah, I mean,
you're probably right, but
I've emailed them and I've asked them, hey, could you rank it? And they're just like, listen, there's just not enough demand for it. And it's going to be good and bad because when these schools are ranked by Business Week, U.S. News, then they're going to have to increase. It's going to become a GNAT war, right? I mean, most schools, if you have like a 650 GNAT, you'll get in. Okay, like if it's a higher GNAT, obviously better, but 650, even lower, you can get into most programs.
Right.
Unfortunately, once you start ranking it, you're just going to have to push the GNAT average up. And you know what? Like I mean, my GNAT wasn't a 650. I just don't do well in the GNAT, and I think I've done pretty well for Villanova career-wise and else. But I think it's going to be a shame because a lot of good students are going to be turned away on a race for the score, you know, for the GMAT and other metrics. But so until that happens, the degree is going to, continue to grow and gain prominence, but not like a rocket ship.
Now, if you have one piece of advice for someone considering the MSF, what would it be? And you can expand that to 2 pieces, by the way.
I'd say 2 things, right? If you're considering applying for the MSF, know why you want to do it. Don't make this a fifth-year college adventure because it's so easy to do. It's fun. You're at a camp. Don't be serious with this.
You're suggesting that people don't postpone adulthood for 1 more year?
No. Like, a lot of people do the graduate degree as if it's like a fifth year.
I know. Right. We're saying the same thing.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Be serious about it. Have a plan. Know why you want to do it. And I tell people, like, if you haven't started reaching out to alumni, if you don't have your resume in order, if you're not already on the career services before the first day of class, you're behind the curve. You need to be at it right away because recruiting starts day one. So go into it with that perspective. And, I mean, just pure nuts and bolts application-wise, realize that it truly is your entire application. You want a good GMAT, you want a good GPA, but if you have a deficiency in it, like 1 or 2 elements, the essays can make up for it. Great recommendations can make up for it. Work experience can make up for it. MSF is a lot more forgiving than like an MBA. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, I guess maybe it's apples to oranges because the MBA, the top programs, the MSFs don't kind of always pair up. But an MSF program, I think they look at the holistic application. So really understand that. And just because you're behind GMAT, don't fluff off on other stuff. Really,
of course.
Put together a good package. But, have a plan because that year is going to go by real fast. And the last thing you want to do is have a master's and, miss recruiting and just be back at square one.
Oh, that's excellent advice. Thank you so much. Anthony, it's been a pleasure speaking with you, and I'm sorry to say it, but we are just about out of time. Where can listeners learn more about your work and Masters in Finance headquarters? What's the URL?
Oh, it's www.msfhq.com.
It's MSF, like Masters of Science in Finance, HQ.
MSF, MSFHQ. And my email address is on there. I answer every email pretty quickly. So anybody has questions, I'm more than happy to talk with them. I love the degree. I love helping people. And listen, people, are happy with the degree and they go on to work. the rising tide lifts all boats. I want this MSF to get more prominent because it's going to make my degree better. So
sounds good. We'll include links in the show notes at info.exhibit.com/63 to msfhq.com, Anthony's highly informative site. And I'll also link to accepted services section since we are offering our lowest rates of the application cycle right now for grad, law, and MBA applicants. It's our, again, it's our summer special, 10% off any Nomura service, coupon code SUMMER. But it ends July 15th, so check out our services ASAP. You can explore the services section. That's not going to cost you a dime. And you can see how we can help you get into the MIF or other grad program of your dreams. And, again, we'll include links at info.exhibit.com/63. Listener, thank you, too, for joining Anthony and me for this Admission Straight Talk 63rd episode. If you found this episode valuable, please share the good word. We've made it really easy for you to do so. Just go to info.exhibit.com/love. There was already draft, you'll find there an already drafted tweet that you can send to your Twitter followers or copy and paste it into a Facebook, LinkedIn, or whatever social media is your pleasure, post. Thanks in advance for doing so. And if you have a question for me, please ask it at info.exhibit.com/63 or by sending an email to questions@accepted.com. Thanks again for coming. This is Admission Straight Talk produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.